Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainability and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And let's see, who am I? Annie Warmke.
Annie Warmke. And today we're going to talk about energy subsidies, or I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. So do you remember that from the old Popeye things, Wimpy and all that? Well, the reason I thought of that is you know, all these governmental programs, subsidies, things of this nature, purport to accomplish something. And normally they don't end up doing that. You know, so I was just thinking of Wimpy.
Well, they do accomplish something. Well, it's usually called corporate greed.
Well, you get the hamburger.
Well, it looks like a hamburger. Back, right? It looks exactly like one.
Okay, so what exactly is a subsidy?
No, I ask you that.
No, well, I know. It's rhetorical.
Okay, Richard.
Okay, so you can ask. All right, Annie, ask me what a subsidy is. No. So we're talking about like subsidies. We think about subsidies like I'm going to give you directly either the company or the customer
money from usually. The government you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. And oftentimes when we're talking about energy, I hear it a lot because I deal with solar training, where people will come and say, yeah, solar's fine. But if it wasn't for all those government subsidies, it could never compete with fossil fuels. So they hear about these programs where, for instance, you can deduct a certain amount of the cost of your system off your taxes, and they think that is what a subsidy is. But it's more complex than that. And I will tell you that fossil fuels receive many times more in subsidies than do renewable energy.
You know what?
Yes. Did I leave off a many?
Yeah. Okay. But you know, the thing is, I was just considering this, that if you were standing in a line at a government building, this would be called charity. This would be called welfare. But because it involves people making money, they call it subsidy.
Well, the fossil fuel industry is an industry that's on welfare. And it really has been from the very, very beginning. Even though it is a very, very profitable industry, and again, we'll get into some of the reasons for this, but it really comes down to a pay-to-play kind of situation, you know, in our governmental system. You know, you provide those in charge with what they want, and they will provide you with what you want. In this case, the industry wants direct or indirect subsidies. So the subsidies themselves, as I mentioned, can be direct. That would be money paid directly to corporations or to consumers. That's what we normally think of as subsidies.
Aren't those kickbacks?
No, we won't call them that. And some of them are very legitimate for very good reasons. Then there are indirect subsidies, such as favorable tax policies, cheap leases on governmental property. We'll get into more depth on some of these. Transportation subsidizing. Trade policies, the tax credits, which would be more like a direct subsidy. Then there are grants and loans. You know, these are often couched in terms of research and development, but they're still subsidizing the direct costs of an industry in doing what they're doing, which is trying to make money. And then your favorite, externalized costs, right? By basically making companies not requiring that they pay for all of the associated costs.
They get the community or the state or somebody else to pay for all these externalized costs.
Right. And a really, really good example of that, I think, I mean, it's bad, but it's a good example, is when a nuclear power plant generates waste radioactive material, the laws are that it is up to the taxpayer to deal with it. So
I'm sorry for laughing, but I think that's the case more often than not.
Yeah. So we pay, I forget the exact number. I've got it in my notes here somewhere, but it's somewhere in the, around $500 million a year for the taxpayer to pay nuclear power plants to store waste materials in their parking lots.
Well, it's good they do, because it wouldn't be nice to have them come visit.
Well, I'm afraid that's one of those things that will come visit.
Yes, I know it eventually when the dam breaks. But then the other thing is, so So what happened that solar energy or wind energy is not benefiting from these various types of welfare?
They are, just not to the same extent. And I always like to kid when I'm giving presentations like this, that we just need to buy some more congressmen. You know, the renewable energy industry is really amateurish when it comes to playing the political game.
Well, it's a new industry.
Yeah, it's new and it's diverse. It's many, many small businesses as opposed to like Exxon, you know, where they have huge amounts of money available to them. So just to give you a sense of the scope of what we're talking about, Forbes magazine did a study and they concluded that currently we have about $649 billion a year in fossil fuel subsidies from the federal government, which is about 10 times as much as they spend on education.
Wow.
So the federal budget is 10 times subsidizing fossil fuel than it is providing education to our next generation. So it's good that we have our priorities in order. And these subsidies are increasing rather than decreasing. So if you consider this to be a problem, the problem is getting worse. Then of all of the global subsidies, the International Monetary Fund has projected that 85% of all of the fuel subsidies go to the fossil fuel industry as opposed to the renewable energy industry. So that gives you a sense of the disproportionate aspect of
that. So here's the thing. If you're making boatloads of money for yourself and for the shareholders, and especially not paying your employees all that well or offering them incentives to have like good health care and things like that, why are you still getting welfare from the federal government?
Because you can.
Because they own Congress, of Congress.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that later, but I want to first annoy you with some statistics before we get into recriminations. But the International Monetary
That's
Fund,
an interesting word,
you know, did say that if we eliminated these fossil fuel subsidies, rather than causing a problem, we would actually see about a 28% reduction in carbon emissions.
Wow.
We would see about 46% reduction in air pollution related deaths. And we would see a 3.8% increase in gross domestic product. So basically, the economy would do better, people would be healthier, and the planet would be preserved if we got rid of the line item that is 10 times the size of our educational budget.
So really then it doesn't really come down all the way to making a profit. It comes down to greed, to say, I'm in charge, I have the power to own this business and stay in this business, even though it's destructive and should not be subsidized by U.S. taxpayers.
Well, that's our perspective. Obviously, they have a different perspective,
okay,
but their perspective is wrong.
I know, but they're already making boatloads of money, and yet their goal is to make money. So when you look at this and say, well, look, you could make more money, they're greedy. They're like, no, this is the way I've always done it. And this is very human behavior, by the way. And so this is the way we've always done it. And we're going to keep doing it that way.
Right. And it's interesting when you're dealing with these kind of numbers and these kind of statistics, as Mark Twain, you know, famously said, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. And when I was doing a lot of the research for this, there are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of websites and magazines and articles and organizations claiming that it is exactly the opposite, that fossil fuels are getting the short end of the stick, that renewable energy is getting all of the subsidies.
Yeah.
97% is basically their thing. So it's sort of like looking
97% what?
Of all the subsidies goes to renewable energy.
Oh,
That's their argument.
I guess if you say it loud enough, people will just repeat it.
Or if you decide what a subsidy is, and go from that perspective. So they're kind of saying everything that they get is a subsidy. Everything we get is legitimate business, you know.
So, it's not welfare.
So we're talking about, like when I mentioned direct subsidies, some of these subsidies are things like the intangible drilling costs in the oil industry, which costs...
But wait, you have to drill to get oil.
I know. But let me explain this. It costs the government about $2.3 billion a year. Now, what this says, and this actually is something that went into effect in 1916, like the very first oil well drilled in America almost, and they basically said, okay, even though this oil well is going to produce over the next 20, 30 years, whatever, you can deduct all the costs of it in your first year of operation. So essentially, it would be like being able to deduct the value of your home in 1 year. It's an accelerated depreciation kind of thing.
But it is bizarre because normally you would have to depreciate it out.
Right, but they don't have to. They can just expense it in the first year of operations. Another thing that came into being is the percentage depletion allowance. And these are the things that get everybody confused because they say, oh, you know, renewable energy, I got to deduct it on my tax. These are subsidies, but they're hard to understand. They're only subsidies an accountant would love, you know? So what the percentage depletion says is essentially I can deduct a certain percentage of what I consider to be my reserves.
You mean money
year.
Reserves?
No. Oil in the ground, coal in the ground.
How do they know how much they
have? Well, there's a thing. But so it's funny. This came into effect in 1926. And the Congress passed this that said you can deduct 27.5% of your operating income as essentially a loss due to what you think you don't have in the ground anymore. And
so every time you take out a barrel of oil, you get to depreciate out 27.5%
of your operating costs. So you could say, okay, I think I've got 1 million barrels, but now I'm going to say, okay, I don't have 1 million. I can take 27.5% of that and consider that a loss. And it gets very complicated. But how did they come up with this? Well, Texas Senator Tom Connally, who sponsored this bill, said, and here's his quote, "We could have taken a 5 to 10% figure, but we grabbed 27.5% because we're not only hogs, but the odd figure made it appear as though it was scientifically arrived at." So essentially, they made it up. They just said, we'll take as much as we can and we'll give you a weird figure so it sounds like we thought about it.
So, you know, I can't help but say this because at that point, it strikes me as that, why do we even bother?
Okay, well, don't get too depressed because it only gets worse.
Well, I know, and this is what I'm saying. It's like, all right, so in my mind, renewable energy is the answer to gearing up to fight climate change.
It's one of the answers.
But it is a huge piece. And
sure.
Because it has the ability to create jobs and jobs beyond just the job of installing, but of making the equipment and all that stuff. But it's bigger than that. And it's like in World War II, when we decided to get into the war, the corporations, the manufacturing people, they were basically ordered by the government to retool and to begin to fight. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we are. And when you tell me all these things.
You're living in the 1940s. Yeah, our government responded to this cry for renewable energy by giving $1 billion for the development of clean coal.
Yeah, so. This is what I'm getting at. And so it's very harsh to listen to all the things that you're saying. And I know people are interested in that, but it's making me feel like, whoa, why are we even trying?
Okay, well, I'll give you a break from that sense of doom and gloom.
Oh, goody.
To tell you that you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
I'm going to say, and thank God, but I'm not believing it right at this
okay.
second.
All right. Well, this gets into, it's always bad when you see how the sausage is made. So the
that's a terrible analogy.
All right, well,
yeah.
It's a common one. So we see some other subsidies to the fossil fuel industry, such as $10 to $52 billion annually for exploration. So the government is basically paying the coal and natural gas and oil industry to go out and try and find more of this stuff. So they're giving them that as a thank you very much gift.
But this is the reason why they can operate at $30 a barrel for oil or some odd figure, small figure for fracking and extracting the natural gas. This is why they can keep going. They would be, any other company would be in the ground, dead on arrival, not even able to try to form a new one.
Well, to reinforce that point, for instance,
is there more? You're piling more.
I'm piling on. So, there was a study that shows that actually, subsidies for coal-powered electrical power plants increased threefold, so three times from 2014 to 2017, up to $47.3 billion a year. And not only were they subsidizing coal power plants, but then they were showing that the same study showed 72% of those plants were operating unprofitably compared to other equivalent type plants like gas or renewable energy, and that if they made the necessary improvements to meet the pollution requirements, it would be 98% of these plants are unprofitable, so they're being subsidized. And not only are they being subsidized, but regulation mandates they have to make a profit. So basically, the electrical companies are allowed to charge whatever it takes for them to make money.
Well, here's the thing I really don't understand about this particular statistic, is that during this same time period, there were plants that were pulled offline have been, you know, demolished or sitting there as a ruin. And so they must have still been getting money for it.
Well, they were getting paid for these things. They were being subsidized. But even with these subsidies, the comparative economics of a coal power plant versus wind, solar, natural gas is so horrific that even with the subsidies, they were better off just simply tearing them down. So
it's unfortunate because a lot of people who fought against those coal-fired plants felt they had won to shut them down, when in fact it wasn't them at all. It was really the fact that they weren't profitable.
Oh, yeah. The economics usually dictate. I mean, we all claim
nobody's going to do the right thing. They don't ever do the right thing.
Well, there are some non-direct subsidies, since I want to keep piling on.
Oh, yeah. I'm buried. Whoa.
there are some foreign tax credits. There's an interesting one called...
Wait, foreign tax credits?
Well, it basically means that they get to deduct taxes that they pay in other countries, even if they don't pay those taxes.
That's unbelievable.
Right.
So when they're drilling for oil in Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia, and they can deduct.
If they determined that they were going to be having to pay a tax, even if they didn't pay that tax, they could deduct that as
I think we should be able to do that in our tax return.
There are some other, like master limited partnerships, which are only available primarily to fossil fuel companies, where they don't pay any tax at all. They're not treated as a corporation. They're treated as individual partnerships. And this costs the government about $1.6 billion each year. So then there's some manufacturing deductions where they pay a cheap. Now, this one will get your hackles up.
Where they could pay a cheap what?
A cheaper rate than corporate rate. But leases, right? 41% of all the coal mined in America is mined on government-owned land.
That's gross.
And oil, 21% of it.
That's just gross.
And natural gas, 14%.
But that land belongs to the people.
Yes, but we get a fair price for it, which has not increased since 1980 by law, with a bid of $100 an acre.
Do you still love me?
There you go.
It doesn't feel good. All right. It's like you're piling on
to me. So cheaply. And then you get into some trade restrictions. These trade restrictions are quotas that have been in place since the Eisenhower administration.
Which is 1950.
Well, make America great again. So we're finding that those are still in place, which essentially outlaw competitive oil and from other countries. And then, of course, more recently, we've seen tariffs being imposed upon solar material,
25%. To drive up the panels and the microinverters and that's coming out of China.
That's an indirect subsidy of the fossil fuel industry. by trying to restrict the competitiveness of the major competitor, which is going to be solar. So, and even when we've...
But wait, that made it sound like this tariff has hurt the solar industry.
Yeah. It's an indirect subsidy of the fossil fuel industry.
Oh, okay. That's, you know, I didn't think that's what you said.
And even when government law has forbidden these kind of international subsidies and things like that, I found an example where President Roosevelt was trying to prop up the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and he was not allowed to give these tax breaks. So what he did was he had them divert a portion of the lend-lease money, the $400 million that the U.S. gave to help Britain in World War II, leading up to World War II. So a portion of that was diverted to Saudi Arabia to help prop up the King Saud against those who would have opposed him. So we're all the time subsidizing these companies. So, and then there are outright gifts and you can get into.
Can we get on the list? I like gifts.
Yeah, no. So there are things like in the American Recovery and Investment, basically the Obama
reinvestment.
Yeah,
Act.
The Obama thing in 2008, 2009, they gave $3.5 billion towards fossil fuel research and development.
You mean the perfect Mr. Obama?
Yeah, it's both sides of this stuff.
Oh,
both.
I know. I'm just making fun of it because if I don't, I'm going to start crying.
Right. And then, of course, we also finance and give subsidize the export of these materials. But everything pales in comparison with the externalities. You know,
what's that mean, externalities?
Externalities, the health effects of fossil fuels.
Oh, the environmental. Cost. We're going to talk about the true cost of fossil fuel. Wow.
And so the big three really are going to be the health effects. For instance, they estimate that U.S. coal power plants have resulted in over 13,000 deaths from the pollution associated with them.
In 1 year?
That I don't know.
Because if you think about black lung and other lung diseases, sure, and cancer, if you live within a certain radius of these places, these smokestacks and things, you could visit the graveyard and they would show you 90% of the people there have died of cancer. Their animals, their livestock die of cancer, sure, and lung disease. I mean, that figure.
Well, we had a friend down near the Ohio River where they were near a coal power plant, and she could just sort of list right down the street. This guy died of cancer. This guy died of cancer.
His
My mother died of cancer.
The
horses have tumors. The cows have tumors.
The dogs have died that way.
Yet nobody was willing to acknowledge. In fact, the externalized costs of these fossil fuel activities are estimated in 2015 alone to exceed $5.3 trillion globally. So these are costs, true costs, I mean, real costs associated with the fossil fuel industry that the fossil fuel industry is not being asked to pay for.
Yeah.
So that's basically what externalized costs mean.
Well, also, if you look at the pollution, so you can drive around and you can see in some of these areas, everything is black because of what's in the air. Think of what that does to people's health.
Sure.
That's why this statistic about the 13,000 deaths and 9,700 hospitalizations, that's got to be just black lung.
Well, I'm not quite sure what caused this. Was this from coal power plants, not from mining?
Oh, because 2010, that was still when things were a lot worse than they are today.
Well, and we see some of these externalized costs in our region. We're in the foothills of the Appalachians. And still today, even though decades from the time when some of these activities were taking place, there's an old power plant, right here in the town where we live or nearby, that still looks like the moonscape,
slag.
And it's all the slag that's been piled up, and it's right next to the Muskingum River. So, all of those pollutants are leaching into the river, causing a lot of pollution downstream. We see, the organization who we've spoken about several times, Rural Action, spent many, many years cleaning up the creeks around
Raccoon
from
Creek, Monday Creek, or Monday Sunday Creek, Creek, Sunday.
I remember riding on a school bus looking out at orange creeks, you know, just
the, we say creeks, but creek. Yes.
Well, I was from Raccoon, Minnesota, so we say, oh, look at the pretty creek.
Yeah, and everybody looks at you like you are a foreigner. But Raccoon Creek was orange, and we always used to say that we didn't have to worry about rattlesnakes because they wouldn't cross the creek. We never had rattlesnakes.
Sure. Okay, and then, of course, the big one, the big...
That sounds like
the
such
big
a
gorilla.
Hillbilly.
I know. The big gorilla in the room is, of course, climate change and climate
change.
But
wait, you're not talking... The thing about oil spills and the coal ash and strip mining and mountaintop coal
but
removal.
But I wasn't piling on, you know? I was backing off a little bit because you were getting so sad.
That's so sweet.
So then one of the things that you brought up indirectly through this discussion is why is all this happening? And it almost always comes down to money. So
greed
and money. Well, in 2015-2016 election cycle, the oil, gas, coal companies, the fossil fuels, they contributed $354 million to federal campaigns. And in return, they got $29.4 billion in federal subsidies.
I'd like to have that kind of return from my money in the
bank.
It's
over an 8,000% return.
Wow.
That's quite a... And here locally in Ohio, we have this thing. You remember Senate Bill 6, right? Where they gave money to the nuclear power plant, and they also subsidized some coal power plants in that.
You mean House Bill 6?
Well, it was House Bill and Senate Bill 6. And they essentially gave $1.3 billion to First Energy.
But it wasn't government money. They're going to tax everybody.
Well, it's essentially
to give
money.
Yeah, but it was a huge amount, like $6 on people's tax bill to pay them.
Well, of course, it turns out that First Energy paid them $60 million. And there's allegedly, right, because this is all still in court, where an organization called Generation Now was given this $60 million. It was controlled by Speaker of the House, Larry Householder. And in exchange, they got $1.3 billion. And I remember at the time, people would ask me, why are they doing
Everybody
this?
Knew it was bad.
I know. It was like an open secret. It said, it is a classic pay to play. I'll give you $1 million. You give me $1 billion. Little did I know, I was underestimating how much
they
gave.
Yeah, we were all underestimating it. We were saying, well, it's, you know, like the handwriting on the wall, but it didn't do any good.
Right. And in fact, the Attorney General, David DeVillers, he said that this is likely the largest bribery money laundering scheme ever perpetrated against the people of the state of Ohio. So this is the industry that we are so proud of. All right. And with that in mind, we will say that you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We want to thank our Emmy Award winning and always renewable producer, Adam Rich. And we want to thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother, who is not subsidized, probably told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is?
Play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and eat your vegetables.
All right. Until next time. Bye-bye.
I know the stars are dancing in the firelight. Soon we'll be together, all will be revealed. Mother Earth will sing and her children will be healed. Come on, see the morning glory blossom in the night. I know the stars are dancing.
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.